So what do you want in a Jesus? If you were looking for a candidate for the Jesus position, what would your job description be for Jesus? Clearly, some people want a white, blue-eyed, blonde Brad Pitt Jesus. This is real. This is real, by the way. This is the high altar at St. John's Episcopal Church in Memphis, Tennessee. It's beautiful, but it's clearly a Brad Pitt Jesus. He's got a six-pack going on. Or some people might want a Jesus that's all about victory. Anybody recognize this one? It's touchdown Jesus, thank you. Or buddy Jesus. Because we all tend to create Jesus in the image that we know and like and are familiar with, right? In our gospel today, we have a window into what people around Jesus wanted Jesus to be. Maybe we'd be on board with some of their suggestions, like a Jesus that's like Elijah. Because if Jesus was like Elijah, he would be someone adept in miracles, facing down kings and false gods, and at the end, no dying required, just a one-way ticket to heaven. Or maybe we're looking for a John the Baptist model for Jesus. Wild and woolly person, not afraid to get out there and be with the people. Doesn't have to spend money on fancy dinners. Any old locus will do. Not concerned about expensive clothes, but is concerned about living right and repentance to make that happen. Or maybe one of the prophets of old Jesus, someone that can really tell it like it is when we start going astray, someone to call out our sinful natures, someone to say we need to straighten up and fly right, someone who has a direct line to God. Or maybe, like Peter the apostle, you're just skipping over all the versions of what you've seen before, and you're really betting it all on the Messiah. Yes, you've decided. The Jesus you really want is a Messiah Jesus. Now, if we take the idea of what a first century Messiah might look like, if we had been a Jew waiting and waiting for the Messiah to come, what would we have been waiting for? Well, it would be someone who is a king, literally, anointed and all, a royal figure from the line of David. The Messiah, or in Greek, Christ, was expected to come and free Israel from their Gentile oppressors, to purify the people and restore Israel's independence and glory. This candidate would need a lot of charisma, but also a lot of physical power, an army, a bunch of weapons, might, force, all the stuff that comes with a conquering king. One little detail that Peter just glazed right over was that nothing in Jesus' career so far really indicated that Jesus really had any political or royal ambitions. Jesus, at this point, had never said to anyone that he was the Messiah. He was not amassing weapons to fight the Romans. He's not raising an army. Maybe it's just wishful thinking on Peter's part to blurt out Messiah when Jesus asks who he thinks he is. Maybe he thinks Jesus will really live up to that role once they get to Jerusalem. Maybe he thinks that Jesus has just been warming up with some miracles and sermons. I think Peter, for a second there, probably really felt good answering to Jesus that he thinks he's the Messiah. But that feeling didn't last very long, because Jesus starts telling Peter that being the Messiah is different. He tells him what being the Messiah really means. No golden crown, no adoring crowds or military might, but instead rejection and suffering and death. And these words are not in Peter's job description for a Messiah. So Peter, being Peter, decides to correct our Lord by saying that that's not what Messiah really means. You're supposed to vanquish the Romans and not let them kill you. We've been waiting for a victorious Messiah, not a dead one. We, as modern Christians, shouldn't be so hard on Peter because, for one thing, Jesus does that for us with the whole get behind me, Satan thing. And for another thing, Peter's response is perhaps not a lot different from what we want in a Messiah. We want someone who is strong and powerful, someone to rescue us from our troubles and defeat all of our enemies. We see this all the time in pop theology. Jesus is a kind of superhero who swoops in to problem solve our illnesses and our money woes. Today's discourse in Mark really shines a light on our inability to grasp who God is in our lives sometimes. We try so hard to make the incarnate Jesus into exactly who we want him to be, what we want him to look like, think like, and be like. We want a Messiah who's a winner to make us winners. We want Jesus to help us win everything, to win at school, to win at a partner, to win at a nice house and perfect kids and a big retirement package. But all the while, he tells us that he is more comfortable with the lowly and the losers. He tells us this when he says that he will allow himself, God's only son on earth, to be judged and sentenced by the Jewish high priest as blasphemous to God. He will allow himself to be mocked, tortured, and put to death as a criminal by the Roman Empire. Jesus' disciples probably really wish that he had been more of a textbook Messiah. They may have wished that they had been more heroic themselves, but that's not the story that we have. The story that we have is about a Messiah being crucified by those in power and abandoned by those closest to him, which doesn't seem like good news on the surface. But the gospel is good news. Because our unlikely Messiah, the divine Son of God, came to earth to walk in our shoes. He wasn't a king in a palace, but a carpenter in the backwater of Galilee, who would rather hang out with cheats and prostitutes and fishermen than with dignitaries. He endured agony and death, and yet still was risen to new life by the power of God. And because of this, we know that God's life-giving power is far stronger than the worst that human hands can do. Because of this, we know that there is no sin or failure that is so great that it can finally and definitely separate us from the love of God in Christ. We try to paint Jesus into the picture of our ideal, perfect Messiah because that's who we want to be. We want to be big and strong, ripped, blessed with beautiful hair. It's challenging for us to follow a Jesus that's just a blue-collar, Middle Eastern Jew in his early 30s who hangs out with sinners, the poor, and the sickly. But that's how our Messiah is. And his power is not gold or sports cars or a movie deal. It is the reality of resurrection, of not fighting armies of men, but armies of darkness, of changing the entire history of humanity from a sad ending to a joyous eternity. His strength is not proven in battle, but by facing down injustice and shining a light on what is right in God's eyes. His glory is not a confetti cannon with a laser light show, but doing justice, loving mercy, and walking humbly with God. What are you looking for in a Jesus? Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. But who do you say that I am? Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. So what do you want in a Jesus? If you were looking for candidates for the Jesus position, what would the job description be? Clearly, some people might want a white, blue-eyed, blonde Brad Pitt Jesus. Or some people might want a Jesus that's all about victory. Or maybe Buddy Jesus. We all tend to create Jesus in the image that we know and like and are familiar with. In our gospel today, we have a window into what people around Jesus wanted Jesus to be. Maybe we'd be on board with some of their suggestions, like a Jesus that's like Elijah. Because if Jesus was like Elijah, he'd be someone that was adept in miracles, and he'd be great at facing down kings and false gods. And at the end, no dying required, just a one-way ticket to heaven. Or maybe we're looking at a John the Baptist model for Jesus, a wild and woolly person, not afraid to really get out there and be with the people. Doesn't have to spend money on fancy dinners because any old locust will do. Not concerned about expensive clothes, but is concerned about living right and repentance to make that happen. Or maybe one of the prophets of old Jesus, someone that can really tell it like it is when we start going astray, someone to call out our sinful natures, someone to say when we need to turn it all around, someone that has a direct line to God. Or maybe, like Peter the Apostle, you're just skipping over all the versions that we've seen before, and we're betting it all on a Messiah. Yes, you've decided. You really want Jesus to be a Messiah, Jesus. Now, if we take the idea of what a first century Messiah might look like, if we had been a Jew waiting and waiting for the Messiah to come, what would have we been waiting for? Well, it would be someone who is a king, literally anointed, a royal figure from the line of David. The Messiah, or in Greek, Christ, was expected to come and free Israel from their Gentile oppressors, to purify the people and restore Israel's independence and glory. This candidate would need a lot of charisma and also a lot of physical power, an army, a bunch of weapons, might and force, all the stuff that comes with a conquering king. One little detail that Peter just glazed over was that nothing in Jesus' career so far has really indicated that he has any political or royal ambitions. Jesus, at this point, has not said to anyone that he is the Messiah. He's not amassing weapons to fight Romans. He's not raising an army. Maybe it's wishful thinking on Peter's part to blurt out Messiah when Jesus asks who he thinks he is. Maybe he thinks that Jesus will really live up to the role once he gets into Jerusalem. Maybe he thinks Jesus has just been warming up with miracles and sermons. I think Peter, for a second there, probably felt pretty good answering to Jesus that he thinks he's the Messiah. But that feeling didn't last long, because Jesus then starts telling Peter and the others what being the Messiah really is, what being the Messiah really means. It means no golden crown, no adoring crowds, no military might, but rejection and suffering and death. These words are not in Peter's job description for a Messiah. So Peter, being Peter, decides to correct our Lord by saying, that's not what really Messiah means. You're supposed to vanquish the Romans, not let them kill you. We've been waiting for a victorious Messiah and not a dead one. We, as modern Christians, shouldn't be so hard on Peter. For one thing, Jesus does it for us with that whole get behind me, Satan thing. And for another thing, Peter's response is probably not different from how we might respond to what we want in a Messiah. We want someone who is strong and powerful, someone to rescue us from our troubles and defeat our enemies. We see this all the time in pop theology. Jesus is a kind of superhero who swoops in to problem solve our illness or money problem. Today's discourse in Mark really shines a light on how sometimes we don't get it, who God is in our lives or in history or in eternity. We try so hard to make the incarnate Jesus into exactly who we want him to be. We want him, what we want him to look like, and what we want him to think like, and what we want him to be like. We want a Messiah who's a winner and makes us all winners. We want Jesus to help us win at everything, at school, at a partner, at a nice house, perfect kids, a big retirement package. But all the while, Jesus tells us that he is more comfortable with the lowly and the losers. He tells us this when he says that he will allow himself, God's son on earth, to be judged and sentenced by the Jewish high priests as blasphemous to God. He will allow himself to be mocked and tortured and put to death as a criminal in the Roman Empire. Jesus' disciples probably really wished that he had followed a more textbook idea of a Messiah. They may have wished to be more heroic themselves, but that's not the story that we have. The story we have is about a Messiah being crucified by those in power and abandoned by his closest friends, and that doesn't seem to look like good news. But the gospel is good news. And the gospel is good news because our unlikely Messiah, the divine Son of God, came to earth to walk in our shoes. He wasn't a king in a palace, but a carpenter in the backwater of Galilee, who would rather hang out with cheats and prostitutes and fishermen than dignitaries. He endured agony and death and yet still was risen to new life by the power of God. So because of this, we know that God's life-giving power is far stronger than the worst that human hands can do. Because of this, we know that there is no sin or failure that we can do that is so great that it can finally separate us from the love of God and Christ. We try to paint Jesus into the picture of our ideal Messiah because that's who we want to be. Big and strong, ripped, maybe a six-pack, blessed with beautiful hair. It is challenging for us to follow a Jesus that's just a blue-collar Middle Eastern Jew in his early 30s who hangs out with sinners, the poorly, and the sickly. But that's how our Messiah is. And his power is not gold or a sports car or a movie deal. It's the reality of resurrection, of not fighting armies of men, but armies of darkness, of changing the entire history of humanity from a sad ending to a joyous eternity. His strength is not proven in battle by facing down. His strength is not proven in battle by facing down tanks and planes, but by facing down injustice and shining a light on what's right in God's eyes. God's glory doesn't come with a laser light show and confetti cannons. It comes by doing justice, loving mercy, and walking humbly with God. What are you looking for in Jesus?